We're in the Gospel of Luke this morning, chapter 13, beginning with verse 10 through 17. 10 through 17. Now Jesus Christ was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity for 18 years. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. And when Jesus saw her, he called her and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands upon her, and immediately she was made straight, and she praised God. But the ruler of the synagogue, indignant because Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, said to the people, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be healed, and not on the Sabbath day." Then the Lord answered him, "You hypocrites! Does not each of you on the Sabbath untie his ox or his ass from the manger and lead it away to water it? And ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" As he said this, all his adversaries were put to shame, and all the people rejoiced at all the glorious things that were done by him. We have all heard that saying, and perhaps you've experienced this past week, no good deed goes unpunished. It happens all the time. We mean well, but somehow, sometimes it blows up in our faces. But now that doesn't mean we are to refrain from doing those good deeds. But sometimes things can go awry and we're not quite for sure how to handle it, and we feel sort of our feelings get a little hurt on it. But Luke, if you listen to what I just read, Christ was the best example for this oft-used phrase during his 3 years of earthly ministry. Christ did nothing but good, but boy, he had his critics out there, didn't he? Christ's compassion for people, particularly the afflicted, was well documented. No one could have desired a better life for people than our Lord. Trouble always lurked around every corner wherever Christ performed miracles, whether it was the man with the withered hand, or restoring sight to the blind, or in this case, a woman who was physically challenged with some anonymous malady. It would take a very cold-hearted person to ignore either an adult or a child with ill health or hunger or whatever the problem could be. If we allow ourselves to do so, we know the Good Samaritan story parable about certain people who were very influential and important, and yet they paid no heed to this wounded passerby as they were walking to backwards and forwards. It reminded me a few years ago when the Olympics were held in Rio de Janeiro, or as they say in Portuguese, Rio de Janeiro, and down in Brazil. And it brought numerous memories back for me. And there was an incident happening. A lot of incidents happened, but this one particular incident happened. Once I was returning to my automobile from a visit to a padaria. You'll probably go, "What on earth is a padaria?" Well, it's a bakery, is what it is. Oh, they had you could smell that bread and all kinds of desserts a mile down the road. I mean, I just floated into that place. It was so not good for the waistline, but boy, it was wonderful on the nose. You know, it was beautiful and all that. But I recalled an incident happened to me once when I left there. Street children are everywhere in Brazil, like in a lot of countries. So they would be in the middle of the roads. I was scared me to death sometimes because you never knew when they were going to dart in front of your car like that. But there was a young homeless boy, a child of the streets, came up to my vehicle and, of course, wanted money. And if you live in an environment like that, you don't give money. But you can always keep some candy or some other treats for such moments. I told the little boy I would give him some delicious fresh-baked bread and candy. Well, he started giggling, and I thought, what's so funny about it? But he had a big smile on his face, and I then realized that I made a language boo-boo in Portuguese. What I thought was correctly said instead of came out, "May I give you some delicious toothpicks?" So, you know, you can make a lot. And you know, but he understood graciously. But you ever think about that? Have you ever seen somebody do something good and they get their hand chewed off for doing it? Or maybe you've been the recipient of somebody doing something good for you. Most of us would be very cordial and genteel and very appreciative of that. But you know, that grammatical mistake turned into a moment of grace for the two of us. And that little boy, I even gave him an extra bread roll just for my stupidity there. Christ evidently saw this woman among the great throngs of people gathered to hear him speak. She probably did stand out in the crowd due to her physical condition. Why was she there? Perhaps it was the salvation message of hope this prophet from Nazareth proclaimed. It was quite obvious that there wasn't much inspiration conveyed in the then current indifferent religion which was offered her or to the rest of the people in Palestine. See, when religion becomes stagnant, it becomes useless. Don't ever forget that. We must always be on the cutting edge and not in the backwaters. But those who criticized Christ the severest were the ones who supposedly loved God the most. Through the years in the ministry, I have found out those who are the biggest critics in the church probably give least amount of money of anybody. That's the basic the way it goes. They want the best service. Or those who haven't been in years and something happens, whether it's a funeral or a wedding, they're usually the ones that want the red carpet rolled out for them. And we all jump like fish at bait when they do come back. But most of the time, that's what happens. That's what happens there. But years ago, while working as a park ranger, a tourist on one of my guided walks required a walking stick. I made her one from a fallen tree limb, and she was very, very grateful for that. In fact, this woman was one of the most pleasant people I've ever encountered. However, a week later, I repeated this same gesture for another elderly lady, but with different results. After the hiking trip, she then thrust the stick back in my hand and with fire in eyes told me in no uncertain terms, "Next time, you can let another old lady use this stick." That was her attitude. Well, due to my youthful inexperience in people relations and seeking to be accommodating with enthusiasm caused me to forget something, and something very crucial in human interaction. All people are created differently. Nevertheless, my actions had been with the best intentions. A gesture of goodwill turned into a disaster, a lesson never forgotten. Perhaps that little boy from Brazil could have taught that indignant tourist some life-changing lessons about forgiveness. See, sometimes we don't live up to what we practice. We sort of fall to the wayside. We say we believe in the Bible, but a lot of us never even practice what's in the Bible. Well, reviewing the checkered history of the ancient Israelites and their religion revealed much about the lack of heartfelt commitment to God. Until the Babylonian captivity, the Israelites played loose and fancy free in their relationship to God. They were constantly disobeying God through their spiritual flirtations with the various pagan religions of the region. Their religion had become one of convenience rather than of obedience to God. The destruction of King Solomon's temple and their exile into foreign lands changed the Israelites forever. Never again, until the time of Jesus Christ, would they turn their backs on God as did their ancestors. However, what resulted from this lesson learned is that the religious leadership allowed their religion to evolve into a legalistic and fossilized format of ritualism with rigid do's and don'ts. Now, am I saying we throw the church building out the window and let chaos reign? No, I am not saying that. What I am saying is that sometimes that we can worship the method rather than the Lord who is behind it. We have to be very careful about that. Like for just a few moments ago when we prayed the Lord's Prayer, sometimes, and I'll be the first to admit, sometimes I catch myself going through rote memory, and do I actually not believe it so much, but do I actually, am I sincere about it? So that could happen some days, that we just go through it like a parrot and just mimic it out like that. But in reality, the Israelites, the religious leadership, had allowed this faith that was once so vibrant to become, as I said earlier, stagnant and status quo without any really spiritual resource to fall upon. Corruption set in, and people lived by the strictest of rules because they thought such moral conformity pleased God. This was demonstrated clearly in how the Pharisees treated Christ during his lifetime. St. Paul mentioned that religion had become so fanatical in carrying out the letter of the law while the Spirit of God was shoved aside. Rigidness was preferred over flexibility and tolerance. Someone once said, moral courage is often the excuse for a rigid mindset. And I believe that's very true. During the days of Cromwell in the 17th century, when the Puritans governed England and America, the results of harsh religious observances created an oppressive atmosphere. Recreation was banned. Theater was banned. Shakespeare was burned in effigy. In fact, his plays were thrown into many a fire. We must remember that. The amusements of any sort, and even church organs. Are you listening, Gloria? Church organs were considered tools of the devil. We're not going to haul the organ outside today. Don't worry about that. But what happened was, everything was looked down upon. In fact, one preacher was removed from his pulpit because he smiled too much. What kind of religion is that? What kind of religion is that? It's like, have you ever worn a pair of shoes and you realize your feet have grown and they're a little smaller on you and they pinch you? Well, that's basically the way I look at bad religion. It's like pinching shoes. I just toss them away if they're beyond any, if I can't give them away like that. So that's the way religion is, when it becomes so rigid that there's nothing left, no grace whatsoever. Dismal and corrective religion will never gain adherents or converts, because who wants to be depressed all the time? You know, when religion banishes the grace of God in the name of God, it's time for a change. It's time for a change. All things should be done to the glory of God, including our faith. I was going to say this for a future sermon, but I'm going to share it with you. One time I was doing it was at another church, we were doing a study of how religion became a dismal thing, and I compared in early America, up in New England where the Puritans ruled, that they were just, it was a grim religion, whereas in Virginia and the southern colonies, it was a pleasant form of faith. People didn't have that checkmark religion. So what I said basically was, the God of New England frowned while the God of Virginia smiled. Just think about that. And you'd rather have a smiling God than a frowning God, one who's an ogre. And we all think of those times when we're thinking, well, somebody up there's got a scorecard and they're keeping it. Boy, when I mess up, I'm going to get hit by a bus. That's not the way God works. God is much more compassionate than that. So when you mess up, or maybe your spouse messes up, or children or grandchildren or siblings or friends, don't be the one to cast the first stone. Remember that we are all human beings. As I made the mistake with the toothpicks in Brazil, we can all botch up every now and then. But thank God we have God to forgive us on that. Don't ever forget such a thing like that. All things, as I said, should be done for the glory of God, including our faith. Are you applying grace in your life to others, though you may get your fingers burned? Yes, that's a risk-taking thing. I'm not saying it will happen today, but you know, maybe before the weekend, something's going to happen, and it could happen. And you'll say, well, why did I do that? But see, sometimes It's so important that we do that, even though we know it's a risk to do so. Most of the time, it is worth it with God's help, even while offering perhaps a walking stick or a toothpick. So you never know when that moment may come where you have to do something like that. Most of the time, there will be excellent results. And probably some people pat you on the back, but sometimes they may hit you with that walking stick. So don't forget that doing all things for the glory of God will have its rewards, and it is being God-pleasing to God. Let us pray. Lord, sometimes in our faith journey, we will encounter dismal people, perhaps a system that doesn't work too well, but we pray that with your grace, that you will give us the strength and courage to be able to move forward in our lives and be of service to those who are really in need. We pray that your grace will permeate our entire lives and that people know that we are truly your child. We ask all this in the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.